This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Rich Cioli Show Podcast.
You know what's funny, too, is that I often talk about movies because I love movies. And I love superheroes, so I often talk about superhero movies. In fact, last night I had the honor of speaking before the South Jersey Fraternal Order of Police at their candlelight vigil. And I was discussing how, you know, as a kid, son of a cop, I would watch superhero shows. But as you get older in life, you realize that in reality, heroes don't wear capes. You know, heroes wear badges and you know, they're firemen and they're cops and they're EMS and they're or troops and things like that. But I talked about that from the perspective of my son, because I want my son to, you know, appreciate superhero movies, and it's fun for me to watch with him. But of course, I want him to remember that grandpa was a cop, and I want him to know the cops in our town, and, you know, bake them cookies and know that he can call on them if he needs help. It's very important for me to know that my kids know that if you need help, you go to a police officer. You don't fear them. Don't run from them. You know, I've had the Philly cops on the show, God, how many times over the last 4 years, right? And it's always been the same thing. Whenever a mom or dad would be at Wawa with a kid and they'd say, I'm gonna have that policeman arrest you, you know, for being bad. And the cop always says, ma'am, please don't say that to your son or your daughter. We want them to know they can come to us, not be afraid of us. It's a very important thing to do. But my love of superheroes, of course, has taken me now to see every Marvel movie ever made and the Avengers Endgame twice. I want to share this headline with you because I thought it would be relevant to our discussion. How Marvel risked everything to go from bankruptcy to billions. Interesting, right? This is from ScreenCrush.com. On December 27, 1996, Marvel filed for bankruptcy in U.S. bankruptcy court. I should add, by the way, the new movie, The Avengers Endgame, has surpassed the $2 billion mark for a movie worldwide, okay? All right. So December 27, 1996, Marvel filed for bankruptcy in U.S. bankruptcy court. The company was losing money hand over fist. Worse, it owed money. Coincidentally, its highest debt, $1.7 million, was owed to Disney, which would later buy it. Over one-third of Marvel employees were laid off. For a company that had created some of the most iconic and recognized characters the world over, the future seemed bleak. This may seem hard to believe for a company about to release Avengers Age of Ultron. This is from 2015. The sequel to a film that grossed over $1.5 billion in a studio whose lowest grossing movie, Captain America the First Avenger, still brought $370 million worldwide. By the way, I would say Captain America the First Avenger is one of the top three of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe franchise. But I digress. So how did Marvel stretch and claw all the way from the bottom to the top? They risked everything. Does this sound familiar to you? Now, based on the standards of the New York Times and Representative Bill Pascrell of New Jersey, we should be trashing Marvel today and saying they're a fake company and they don't deserve to be in business. They don't deserve to be putting out movies. They're a scam. Their heroes are all scams. Their superheroes are all scams. This company went bankrupt and is now has in its rights. I mean, it's movie, not even its rights. It owns the highest grossing movie of all time worldwide, or maybe the second highest grossing of all time. It's going to be number one, I think, in a matter of any day now. So, but that's the point, right? That's a very, so I would learn a lesson here, as I'm sure maybe screenwriters would, or actors would, or directors would, which is that just because you fail doesn't mean it's over for you. Now, imagine if the Marvel Cinematic Universe, when they declared bankruptcy back then, they just said, all right, we're done. We can't make it. Nobody likes Iron Man. Nobody likes Captain America. It's over. It's over. And walked away. Just never, ever tried to make Marvel movies ever again. In fact, just shut down their comic book business. Well, we lost. That's it. It's over. If they had had that mindset, there would be no Marvel Avengers Endgame right now. Because it might be a different iteration of that, but it wouldn't be the same movie, obviously. Back to the article. Bankruptcy paid off all existing debts, and Marvel was going to survive. They needed to actually start making money. Marvel had grand new plans to create Marvel Mania-themed restaurants. Do you know those restaurants? I don't. Do you? No. I don't think they ever happened. Marvel Interactive CD-ROMs and a new trading card initiative with Skybox. Marvel Mania opened one location in 1998 and closed a year later. The CD-ROM and trading card plans were woefully out of date before they were ever even announced. This was the kind of dated thinking that got Marvel into this mess. The 1996 bankruptcy came 2 years before the first modern Marvel movie, Blade, hit theaters. And by the way, Blade is not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe of Avengers Endgame. It's not. So, in fact, the first movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and Avengers Endgame would be Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr., which would not come around for another 12 years after this. Why didn't they just stop? Why didn't they just give up? If the Marvel studio plans failed, they would lose the rights to every single one of their properties. The bank would own them, and the plans for a Marvel Cinematic Universe would be dead. In other words, they owed so much money, and they were so in debt, they went to bankruptcy, but they had the rights to all these different characters. Some characters, they had to basically write, you know, like lease them. The Hulk, for example, the Incredible Hulk. We grew up with the Incredible Hulk. I used to love watching that show. I used to love that when I was a kid. I'd watch Incredible Hulk. They called him David Banner back then because they thought Bruce was a gay man's name back then, which is just stupid. But it was David Bruce Banner. But it was a great show. I used to love The Incredible Hulk. Well, The Incredible Hulk isn't, the rights to him are not owned by the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They lease him to, I guess it's where they lease from Fox 21 or whoever it is. Same thing with Spider-Man. That's why he had all those Spider-Man movies over the years. They were not Marvel movies. It was a Marvel character. Stan Lee created him. The late, great Stan Lee created him. But they had to basically now lease the rights to a lot of these properties. And a lot of their characters nobody wanted because they were losers. They were looked at as losers. So Marvel had to say, you can take all the big names and we'll keep the ones that nobody cares about, like Iron Man, for example, and Captain America and some of these others. Today, they have the highest grossing movie worldwide, or number two worldwide, $2 billion. This is my point. In life, you're going to fail. You're going to try, you're going to fail. You're going to take some risks, you're going to fail. But I think we can all agree Marvel is a success. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is a success. I think we can all agree Donald Trump's a success, too. You know, Trump lost a ton of money, and Trump admits he lost a ton of money, but he still has a lot more money than I do, or you do, or Bill Pascrell does, Congressman Pascrell, or any of those idiots in Congress right now. Just like there's so many probably directors. Think about how many directors in Hollywood or actors look down on Marvel and their characters. And probably when they announced that they were doing an Iron Man movie, which would make $500 million. That's it, $500 million. But they probably thought at the time, Robert Downey Jr. is going to do Iron Man? This is stupid. And now look at them today. But that's the secret. I mean, that's what I would tell people about life, right? You try, you fail. You try again, you fail. You try again. You keep going until you succeed in life. That used to be a lesson. That used to be something we, as a country and as a society, revered. I still revere it, by the way. When I hear success stories of people who've lost everything and came back from that, I'm inspired by that. I always have been. You know, for example, the Marvel, some of their characters were so toxic that people just didn't want, they had nothing to do with it. I told you the story about Adventures in Babysitting, right? This is one of my movies I grew up with, Elizabeth Shue, because I had a massive crush on her like every other guy did at the time. And in Adventures of Babysitting, the one little girl is obsessed with Thor, the God of Thunder. But Thor, the only reason why Thor is because they asked for like seven other characters, and the studio that owned the rights to those characters at the time, because of Marvel's bankruptcy, said no. No, 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 no. And then they got the Thor, and they said, fine, nobody cares about Thor. And that character is in one of the highest grossing movies in the history of movies. And that character is now an iconic figure. And there have been so many action figures of Thor made in TV shows and cartoons. I mean, that was the scraps they gave to Adventures in Babysitting. Now, based on the New York Times mindset, they should have wrapped it up, called it a day, been done, out of movies forever, and you and I would not be able to enjoy Avengers Endgame, which I think is one of the best superhero movies ever made, ever. The truth is, there are a lot of people out there, they're mostly socialists, who don't believe that success is something that everybody should achieve, because some people can't achieve it, therefore nobody should be able to achieve it. Therefore, everybody should get the same mediocrity, and everybody should get a trophy just for trying. But nobody should ever be able to rise to the heights of a Trump or a Marvel, because the truth is that not everybody can. They lack the intelligence. They lack the means. They lack the socioeconomic blah, 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 blah. And so they can't. So therefore, you shouldn't be able to either. That's really what it's about. Because these idiots who are criticizing Trump today, they've never even come as close to the summit that he has. They've never been on the heels and been in the valley thinking that it was all over for them. Never. They have no idea what that's like. As the poem says, that, you know, the sting of defeat and then the thrill of victory. They have no idea what that is like. Just like how many people in Hollywood, screenwriters and actors and directors, just gave up because they didn't make it the first few times. I say thank God the Marvel Cinematic Universe never gave up, right?
Riccioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.